Welcome to another episode of The Suspendables with funny man Jungle Jim Jerome and retired NHL star Russ Cortinel. Each week they unleash their raw, stripped down, unfiltered opinions on all things hockey and maybe other stuff too. Who knows? Inside stories, absolutely. Outrage, guaranteed. Offside, for sure. And always plenty of laughs. Strap in. The Suspendables is coming at you right now.
Russ, is that ice machine going again?
Fuck, overdrive.
24-7.
Son of a bitch wakes me up in the middle of the night.
Rusty, I thought of a great gift for you, okay? I'm going to give you 7 new motors for that ice machine so you can reload them every week. The ubiquitous ice machine. I love it. How are you, Rusty? It's another episode of The Suspendables, of course, with him, Russ Cortinel, and me, Jungle Jim Jerome. I miss you there, girlfriend. We haven't talked in a couple of weeks.
It's been a nice break, Jimmy. Have to admit. No, I missed you too, pal. I talked to Gretz after your big interview.
Well, let's talk about that in a second. But first, Rusty, it's a celebration, Russ. This is our 100th show. Hang on. Come on. There he goes.
I'm back.
You're back, buddy. It's our 100th show, Rusty.
Who would have guessed?
Who would have guessed 100 shows?
I can start telling people now.
Or we can go into the same stories again. I kept track of everything. Anyway, congratulations to you, Rusty, and me, and our partner, Bill Yeady, who's the guy who approached you, Russ. People ask how this all came together. Well, you know, I've known each other a long time, and Bill is a friend of yours down in Sherwood, and he has a company called Global Traffic Network, and he wanted to get into the podcast game, and you were the first guy he asked, and then you ended up asking me. We didn't know how it would go, but it's been a ton of fun. I've enjoyed every bit of it, and so have a lot of people, Rusty. So we're gonna read a few emails and some comments from people about you and the show, celebrating 100 shows. And if that isn't good enough, last week was show 99. You were unavailable, but to be honest, Russ, it was, you know, and I talked to you about Gretz. We had Wayne Gretzky on, of course, for our 99th. We had him on for our 50th. And when I talked to you about it, you said, you know what? I'm kind of nervous about talking to Wayne. Why don't you do it? And
and I said, "You're so full of shit."
Oh my god! Anyway,
that nose of yours is going to hit me in freaking L.A. from Edmonton. You keep talking like that,
Pinocchio. Anyway, you had a chance to listen to it. What'd you think of the Gretzky interview?
So it's the only show I've listened to. Of ours from start to finish, and it was awesome. And part of the reason I didn't want to do the show was because I felt like you and Wayne could just, you could ask him questions and Wayne could talk and then I wouldn't be involved in all. And I loved it. I was laughing, I was crying, and it was just an awesome show. And so I texted him right away after the show was over and said, you know, thank you for coming on. And he said, you know, I haven't told a few of those stories have never been told before. And the grass, I'm sure, is the one, you know, the green grass that Walter right, that was growing. Story. It's funny. And you know, him losing his teeth. I didn't know that Wayne had lost his teeth in his, in minor hockey.
And never lost one in the pros.
Right, but I saw a picture of him sitting on the bench, and he was missing a tooth, and it was in the newspaper, and I was like, oh my gosh, Wayne lost a tooth, well, you know, during the game, and now I hear this story years later, and I did not know that, and it's funny, because Wayne and I weren't the most physical players, obviously, and people who watch hockey, watch us play, know that, people who didn't see me play, you know, probably they don't know because the confusion in the Cortinals is it Jeff or Russ? Because Jeff was tough and I was not. But Gretz and I have never had that conversation about losing teeth ever. I mean, we've never talked about losing teeth. And I lost, Paul Kariya knocked my two front teeth out. Thank you, Paul. Oh. But at the end of my career. But anyways, the stories were great. Your interview was awesome. Wayne was awesome. And I hope everybody enjoyed it.
Right on, man. And this is show 100. On the show today, there's a bunch of stuff that's happened in hockey that we need your take on, Russ. I'm in Edmonton, and I am a rabid Edmonton Oilers fan, as you are, Rusty. And Connor McDavid gets 100 points in 53 games. We want to get your opinion on that. Tom Wilson, if you've been living under a rock, that'd be the only reason you wouldn't have heard of this. Tom Wilson, who's the tough guy with the Washington Capitals. Some people might call him, I don't know, a dick. I think he's got a loose screw, man. I think he's got a loose screw. We want to get your comments on that. Good God, didn't like reading it this morning, Rusty, because he's a great friend of yours and mine and everybody, and one of the most loved guys in the league. I've never heard a bad word ever said about this guy. I'm talking about Rick Tocchet.
Yeah.
Who got let go from Phoenix. John Tortorella is no longer with Columbus. The Seattle Kraken, Russ, made their last payment of $650 million.
They topped it up.
And they're going to be playing hockey next year.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to talk about that. And a bunch of other stuff. So first of all, we're gonna do a few callouts because it's our 100th show. So we want to thank a bunch of people, including Daryl Folds and Brent Carruthers listens. My cousins in Toronto, big fans of yours, Rusty. They're Maple Leaf fans.
Nice.
Martha and Jerome. I've got a cousin. My first cousin, Russ, his first name is Jerome. So Martha's a big listener and Jerome is. My godmother's 90. She's has some health problems. Colette Hartman in Sudbury. Perry Blanchard, Dave Wolf, of course, who helps us with our social media, and Reg. Eddie Akai, who's coming on board. Trish. I want to say hi to Trish because we had a mutual friend, Brian Ross, who worked many, many years for the Oilers and lost his battle to cancer a while back. And he was a mutual friend of ours. And she spent a lot of time with him in his last days. So thanks to her. Dustin Dent, Matthew Carmichael. My buddy Stan Gullickson. So let me read a couple of
things. That kind of covers all our listeners.
Yeah, there it is right there. Yeah. We got one listener every 10 shows. So I got it. Okay, so Matthew Carmichael. Thanks, Matthew. All I got to say is excellent show, Jerome and Russ. Best podcast I've ever heard. I love hearing the stories and laughs. Got to get Wendell on.
Yeah, we got to get Clarkie on.
We got to get him on for sure. Like I said, best effing podcast ever.
Ooh.
Wow. Thanks for that, man. Quick question for Rusty during the pandemic. This is from Mark Kruger.
Mm-hmm.
During the pandemic, interest in sports cards has really spiked with so many people stuck at home and looking for something they can safely enjoy. I was curious if you noticed an increase in the number of autograph requests, Russ, you're getting during this time. I love the show. You guys are hilarious. I don't listen to anything else.
But nice. Yeah. Nice.
You got a quick comment? Are you doing more autographs or not? Do you notice any?
Yeah, I'm getting a lot more mail. So I've talked about this before where people are finding, you know, they find where you live and then they keep mailing from all over. I'm getting mail from all over the world now, people collecting autographs. I probably average about 20 letters a week. I think that really? Might even be low, but it went, you know, it used to be a couple letters here and there, but now it's 20 letters for sure a week. And, I've had a couple requests from, autograph retailers, collectible stores that I've signed. They'll send pictures, pucks, numbers that I wore. And I autograph those and send them back and then they sell them.
Right. Do you get paid for some of that, Russ? I mean,
the ones that come in the mail, I don't, you know, they're people that
right.
send and hope that the person they send to signs them and sends them back. And I do.
Fans, yeah.
So those ones you don't, but I, the ones from the retailers, yeah, I get paid.
And you should.
So they pay you per signature. So it's pretty simple.
I want to go. I want to do that.
Yeah, I want to do that every freaking day.
Dustin Dent is a big fan of the show. Hi, guys. I love the show. I've listened to all the episodes thus far and find the show funny, informative, and entertaining. Boy, informative. Well, that's the first time we've heard that one, Rusty.
Wow. Chalk that up.
Chalk it
up. Send that to Bill Yeady.
Yeah, we're going to. I'm excited to see when a new episode drops in my podcast app. I also find the show to be a reminder of how important goal setting is. If you do it well, you can end up with Russ's life. If not, Jim's life might be your future. I say that with tongue in cheek. And then he makes a funny comment. If you live in Edmonton, you often hear this from Winnipeg Jets fans. Thanks again. I'll continue to listen. But if I could ask one favor, could you have Wayne apologize to all the Winnipeg Jets fans of the 80s, being someone who fell in love with hockey and the Jets in the 80s. Wayne has been responsible for breaking the hearts of more Jet fans than anybody in the world. That's funny.
That is.
And we talked about that in the interview. You'd have to, you know, go back and listen to it.
I heard the Winnipeg story. That was interesting.
Yeah, totally. And another big one we want to do, Tim Gibbons reached out to us. And we absolutely, I couldn't wait to do this.
Poor season. Tim.
Yeah.
Poor Tim. He could have been Tim Horton.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Horton. But that wouldn't be a good thing either because
no, Tim didn't do well. Russ.
Tim wouldn't be alive to appreciate his donut empire.
Right.
His family would love him though.
Yeah, absolutely.
They would have got it all.
Can you let me just read this? Okay.
Oh my God.
Just pipe down for 1 second.
I'm trying to stay awake.
Big fan.
Keep going though.
Tim says, now this is kind of serious and we're happy to oblige.
Hopefully nobody's driving right now because I'll fucking drive off the
Shut
road.
Up, man.
Okay, keep going.
Big fan of the pod, says Tim. We've got lots of mutual friends in the game. I have a favor. My brother Chad, nicknamed Boomer, is an absolute beauty and has gone through a hell of a lot of health issues in his life. He recently celebrated 19 years of a kidney transplant.
Jeez.
He's a massive Leaf fan. And he's an even bigger Rusty fan. His birthday is May 2nd. And I was hoping you guys could give him a happy birthday and a shout out. No, forget it. No, you're good. You know, not for you, Boomer.
Happy belated birthday. Boomer.
Yeah, Boomer.
Boomer to have a nickname Boomer, you got to be a beauty.
You must be a beauty. Peter Simpson. Such great fun listening to you guys. Awesome. I miss my hockey buddies and just hanging out. Anyone who's really listening to you is, it's like sitting around in a bar, shooting the shit and quaffing a few ales, telling some lies and just loving it. Thank you. A few weeks ago, you talked about great comebacks. Lemieux, of course, was a big part of it and deservingly so. What about some great comebacks during a game? Russ, I'm sure you've got some memories of that. And, the one that comes to mind is Scott Stevens knocking the shit out of Paul Kariya, blasting him into next week. And yet Paul came back and scored the winning goal. I think, anyways, wasn't there a similar Steve Yzerman story? Anyway, all the best, Peter. I love the show. Thanks, Peter. Did you ever get one up on a guy, Russ, during a game? Like, did you get any karma? Any karma that you remember from some of your games?
Yeah, I was playing in Vancouver, and it was the night before my son was born. And I scored a hat trick, but my second or third goal, I got absolutely cross-checked and hammered by, I think it was Joe Riki or something. And anyway, I went down and we somehow kept the puck in and I was behind the defense and got the puck and scored. And so if you can see that highlight, you'll see me just chirping in the guy's ear like, way to go, asshole. When somebody hammers you and then you can... But Paul Kariya's is epic because he doesn't remember it. He was still unconscious, but he was. How is that? What does it mean to be? So you're knocked out, like, but you're all on your feet. But you're on your feet, and you're because Tom Chorsky got in a fight in Vancouver against Gary Volk, and he was, you know, he was talking and he looked fine, and then after the game, he went in and. Had a shower, walked out, and he was putting his raincoat on as his pants.
Yeah, right.
And everybody's like, oh, yeah, like he was looking at us like, what? And so then they called in the doctors and they took him to the hospital, but we didn't know.
Yeah, knocked out on your feet, I guess, or, you know.
Black. You and I both know what it's like to be blacked out.
I do. I'm trying to think how often I was. Oh, yeah, from 1989 to 2010.
Just a reminder, if you'd like to connect online with Russ or Jimmy or engage with them on social media, find out how at thesuspendables.com.
Well, I'll tell you, I've got a story about that. We were playing golf on a par three. The hole was clear.
Yeah.
And I went and hit a shot and I blew it over the back of the green. It dropped off. There was a hill at the back. And then a guy came screaming up the hill because they were looking for a ball. And he's like, "You hit my buddy." Right. And we ran up there and I corked him in the top of the head on the fly. And when we got there, the guy was taking his gear off. He was out on his feet, you know?
Wow.
And it was the first time I ever saw it. You know, we have to get them all dressed and into the clubhouse and stuff. But that's a bad story. Anyway.
So you're a shitty golfer, too.
I'm shitty. G-Mac, my old buddy G-Mac. Even Stevie would know him from the radio days. Happy Sunday, Jungle. I hope you're well. And that Edmonton's starting to thaw out. I just caught up with the Suspendables, and I had to send to you and Russ a great nod of congratulations. You know me well enough from the radio days. I love great content, and I've been a podcast loyalist for many years. My all-time favorite podcast is Adam Carolla. Oh. Wait a minute. How did this get in here? What the fuck? My second favorite from the hundreds I've listened to is The Suspendables. It's absolutely superb. And it gives a nod to a bunch of guests. That's why I wanted to read it. The Marty McSorley, Darren Pang, Gary Lehman episodes were absolutely outstanding. I would never believe that you're working with someone who put in less work than you, Jimmy. Keep it up, brothers. You're both fantastic. That's definitely great. Your jam. Thanks a lot, great. G-Mac. Appreciate all that stuff. So, Rusty, let's get to it. The Tom Wilson story, it's been around for a while now. I talked about it at the top of the show. Obviously, you've seen it. I sent it to you, the video. Three things come out of this thing. One is this guy deserved to be playing much hockey anymore, in my mind, because of what he's doing. That thing was gross what we saw. And then secondly, George Parros, what happens out of it? Everyone's going, okay, that's big. That's going to be a lot of games. He gets this silly $5,000 fine and no games. And then out of that, George Parros is the head of the safety department in the NHL, then people are screaming, you got to get rid of the guy. You got to get rid of Parros. Something happened there that he didn't give the right penalty.
Yeah.
Or suspension.
Suspension.
And then on top of that, the New York Rangers, allow me to read it. The New York Rangers are extremely disappointed that the Capitals forward Tom Wilson was not suspended for his horrific act of violence last night at Madison Square Garden. Wilson is a repeat offender with a long history of these types of acts, and we find it shocking that the NHL and their Department of Player Safety failed to take the appropriate action and suspend him indefinitely. Wilson's dangerous and reckless actions caused an injury to Artemi Panarin that will prevent him from playing again this season. We view this as a reflection of the duty by NHL head of player safety, George Parros, and believe he is unfit to continue in his current role. No one's ever done that, Rusty. What happens out of that is they get fined $250,000 by the league.
And fired.
For making a statement. And then John Davidson and other dude gets...
Gorton.
Yeah, get fired. You know, I was saying last week, Rusty... So Wilson gets a $5,000 fine.
Yeah.
And what the Rangers would have been better to do, Stevie, instead of putting out that statement, they should have just busted into Gary Bettman's office, grabbed him by the hair, throw him on the ground, and punched him while his head was there. And they only would have got $5,000, Rusty.
Oh, my God. It was unbelievable.
Walk us through it, Rusty. The best people to hear about this thing are from players.
First of all, they made a mistake by calling out George Parros and saying he's unfit to do the job. That was their number one mistake. Complaining about a call, you know, you're going to get fined. But to actually challenge somebody and say they should be fired, that was a big mistake. And obviously their owner didn't take he was either told to or he decided to fire them.
Why is it a big mistake, Russ?
Because you just don't do that in the league. The NHL runs that part of the league. It's their decision whether he's fit to do the job or not. Not a general manager or a president of a team telling the league and their fans that this guy's unfit, that they pay. Mm-hmm. So that was a huge mistake in my opinion. I mean, I've talked to five or six guys, retired players, and they all feel the same way. That body slam, head slam to the ice is so freaking dangerous with a guy with no helmet on, and he's not a tough guy. And it was just a bad. It's something that the game, you know, shouldn't have in our game, intent to injure. And I just can't believe they didn't see more. I don't know what they're looking at and what we're looking at. I mean, that looks pretty freaking dangerous to me. Guy with no helmet on and he gets slammed to the ice and he's not a fighter. Mm-hmm. So, but there was, I agree that the suspension should have been longer, but
there wasn't a suspension.
Well, they're fine, whatever. Yeah, fine. $5,000. So whatever they decided. But looking at it, what you sent me, what I just saw was brutal.
Right.
Yeah, right. It was brutal. But I didn't see anything before that. So it's obviously showing the worst of the video, because that's what we do in the media, is we show the best or the worst of any video, whether right. it's in whether it's in politics or hockey or professional sports, or you're selling a house, you're going to show the best part about the house, and then everything else after that gets worse.
What we need to know, Russ, from you today on this matter, and I met him. He was at one of the camps, the fantasy camps, George Perros. Wonderful guy.
Smart dude, too.
Smart guy, yeah.
Yep.
Try and do this, Russ, is take us inside the head of George Perros, who looks at this thing, sees the same video we all did.
Yeah.
Maybe he's got a few more angles of it. I don't know, but it's pretty apparent, the two or three videos that were released. Why, Russ... Why is this not a big suspension? There's got to be some reasons from George for this. I was thinking, Russ, maybe it's because Washington is going to be in the playoffs. Does that have any bearing, Russ, when they look at suspensions? It's a few games away before the playoffs start.
Right. So what I need to see is the whole video of the altercation, because there had to be an altercation. And if he just got man strength down to the ice, if that was the end of, a tussle, because he lost his helmet. I don't know how he lost his helmet. But if I would need to see the whole thing. What if what if he speared him in the balls, which is common for a non-fighter, and he was reacting to being speared, and he's not fighting somebody, he's tussling with a non-fighter, and that's what he did. I don't know. There's got to be more fact. Showing me the 1 to 2 seconds of a video. I haven't seen the rest. So I would need, if Perros and Ray Whitney, and there's Burke's son there, and there's another guy, I think there's four of them, they've looked at this video a million times. Mm-hmm. So they know more, that they're seeing something, the four of them, that I'm not seeing, because I haven't seen it. So
yeah,
you're showing me the worst part about it, but there's got to be more to it. Like, what were they doing before this happened?
You are 100% right, because they don't look at just what that, as you say, some clips
the worst part of it.
Yeah, the worst. Apparently, he got jumped. Wilson.
Who?
Wilson got jumped. Someone jumped on his back.
Right. And so he was probably, you know what? And if he was reacting to that, and then he turned around and he sees, what's his first name? I can't, the Ranger player,
Artemi Panarin.
Artemi, great player. I love his personality. I think he's fantastic for the game, and you want to protect those players. But if whatever he did before that, and then Wilson stands up
like you just said, he got jumped and he turns and he freaking manhandles him down to the ice. It's obviously dangerous, but he's reacting to something. And so they're fining him for his reaction. He probably didn't intend to hurt him or fight him, but something happened before. And I just have not seen it to, I mean, they're smart guys, Peros and Wiz. I mean, these guys played the game and Peros was a fighter and Wiz wasn't. So those conversations back and forth, I mean, the two of them can sit down and just talk back and forth on that situation because Wiz has probably been in the non-fighter role and he's been in the fighter role and they can sit there and go, okay, this is what I would have been thinking. And he would return, well, this is how I felt during this altercation. And they come to a $5,000 fine. I mean, they're not either way. You lose in those situations. One team's going to be pissed off because it wasn't enough. And the other team's going to say, well, you know, it's too much. And they try their best. I hang out with Wiz all summer at Gosser and we talk once in a while about, and it's not an easy job. And he said there's so many camera angles now. He goes, it's almost impossible to get away with anything. Like it's, impossible. Right. So I don't know. But that part you show me is bad. That part is really bad.
Right. And yeah. If it was sort of like an unprompted move.
Right. Then he would get freaking 20 games.
Right. Right. If he just snaps out of left field.
Yeah. If he went up to him and there was no altercation and he dropped a guy with no helmet on, slammed his head to the ice. I mean.
Right. Oof. Now, Rusty, in the spirit of retribution, okay, in the spirit of avenging, okay, and getting revenge, they play again the next night under this new schedule, of course, right? So
yeah.
Rangers and Washington tee off in what was almost a comedy skit.
Yeah, okay, it's the opening face-off. Right on the head, it was a comedy.
Everyone just drops their gloves, and it's a bunch of guys who normally don't fight.
It's a joke. It's embarrassing for the league. I mean, it's embarrassing for those players. And you know what? It was, I remember, you know, the one that I do agree with that was when Claude Lemieux rammed Draper's face into the boards. And then the next time they played Claude, he lined up against McCarty and they went at it. And I agree with that because Claude had to pay for what he did. But what I saw, the Rangers in Washington, I mean, I turned it off. I'm like, this is a joke.
Stupid.
Like it is stupid.
However, Russ, Buzhnevich, okay, is the guy who originally was in the first little scrum there with Wilson when he threw him down on the ground, punched him in the head when his head was on the ice. The next game, Buzhnevich is standing face-to-face with Mantha.
Mm-hmm.
And they're sort of just chirping each other.
Yeah.
And then right out of nowhere, Buzhnevich with the short grip on the stick, Russ, okay, you know where your hands are at the butt of the stick and only about a foot and a half apart, cross-checks him squarely in the face.
Ugh.
Okay. And it reminded me of Marty's story, Russ, that you and I both laughed at, where Marty said, if you hurt one of my stars, okay, I'm not facing off with your tough guy. Yeah. I'm going to hurt one of your stars. And it looks to me like Buzhnevich said, I'm nailing someone here.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fallout was from that. If he got a game or two, it was certainly suspendable. But is it the day, Rusty? Do we need to start looking at more enforcers on each team? Or, I mean, you played in the day of the enforcer, but that's gone by the wayside.
I got to retell the story. So okay. I'm playing for the Dallas Stars and it's our first year in Dallas and they freaking love the physical contact and they love the fighting. So we play back to back against Chicago and there's five or six fights in Chicago. Then we come back the next night and we're in Dallas and our announcer, as we're going out for the anthem, goes to the fans, "Let's get ready to rumble." And freaking Mike Modano and I were like, "Are you kidding me?" Piss off. Like, these knuckleheads need more motivation. Now you've just Like now our guys, they couldn't even, they were just like, oh, let me out there. I want to kill somebody. And
panting dogs.
Oh my God. Yeah, let's get ready to rumble. Just what Mo and Russ wanted to hear as they're stepping on the ice against the Blackhawks.
That's tough. That's tough on a high producing forward like yourself, Rusty. Oh
my God.
That's so funny.
And it would, you know, what was funny was I had a fight the night before with another non-fighter, a Finnish guy, Christian Rutu, and I had a fight. I think it was Rutu, or it might have been, I fought him in Chicago, and then I fought another guy, another small guy like me. You know, none of us were fighters.
Good
and
pick.
So, yeah, of course. I go with the odds.
Sure.
So, anyways, I had already had a fight, and I like to have one a year. So
just to keep you
honest. When I heard that announcer say that, I'm like, oh, come on. Can't you wait? Wait till next year? But anyways, that's what we, you know, when we had those games back then, they were brutal. And then the next time you played, it just continued on. And the fun part is if all the fighters and tough guys fight and get, and they're in the box or in the dressing room, and then you can let the skilled guys play. And then when I played in Toronto and we played Detroit, it was a blast. There'd be I don't know how many guys in the penalty box, right? and
Kosher, Probert, those
oh,
guys.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's Snaps. Who else? They had Probert. They had Kosher. Lee Norwood, who wasn't a tough guy, but he fought. You know, he could fight. Gerard Gallant was a tough bastard. Could he fight? Yeah, tough. They had a few, like, you know, half a dozen guys, maybe more on the team that were good to go.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. Not anymore. We don't need the big enforcer then anymore.
Well, I don't know because you get
shit players could get out of control here. With this Wilson thing,
you get somebody getting taken advantage of. You need somebody to straighten people out. So,
well, we'll see.
I like the cops and robbers. You keep the game honest.
Yeah. Seattle Kraken, Rusty. We talked about at the top.
Did you know what a Kraken was when they first named them?
I couldn't think of a stupider name than that.
But did you know, like, when they came out with Kraken, did you know what it meant?
No, and then I thought, so someone will say, like you always say, Russ, get informed, Jimmy, get informed. It's like, if I have to look that up for a nickname for a sports team, you got to be in trouble. So tell me what it is then, I forget.
I think it's a sea monster or something like that.
Wow, that makes sense.
And when it came out, everybody's like, oh my God, they're moaning and groaning about the name and stuff. And can you imagine the firm they paid, how much they paid to come up with the colors and
or the nickname itself, Rusty? How many angles do we have here to make fun of that? You know,
Kraken.
Yeah.
Let's get cracking.
They probably got something we'll see. It is here's the way it works, Rusty.
Sorry to cut you off, but pre-pandemic, they were so fired up. I think they sold out their season tickets in like an hour and a half. It was unbelievable. And I know one of the part owners of the team, and he was just jacked when he, you know, got in and got involved. So,
and they're even more jacked now. They're getting ready to play. Were you ever part of expansion, Russ, the year? I'm trying to think. Were there any teams that came in? Vegas as well. You know, that's crazy.
I never got picked. I got protected, so I was.
But what teams were they, Russ? What team expanded when?
Well, I came in with 21 teams, so.
So here's the deal, folks. What happens? The teams, they've got to select one player from each of the, this is 30 teams, but there's 31 teams. I don't know what that is. Must select one player from each of the teams. The teams can protect 7 forwards, 3 defensemen, and a goalie, or 8 skaters and 1 goalie is how that's going to work. What are you doing, Russ, if you're picking this team, trying to fill it with players? What sort of guy are you looking at? Let's start with the forwards.
I think you try to mimic what Vegas did, because they did such a great job, and they've got a really, really good hockey team. So I think you want to go for those players that are underutilized on good teams. You know, maybe the player that hasn't quite proven himself and he just needs more ice time. You want to go for those, you know, diamonds in the rough and defense and goalie. I mean, if you can get good defense and a goalie right away, it's just going to be amazing. When I was playing, the teams were so freaking bad. I mean, they were like a minor league team made up of a lot of minor league players, and it took them years to become anywhere decent. And it was through drafts. And then, you know, how drafts, you know, in Edmonton better than anybody, how long it takes to turn a team around with draft picks, and you got to draft really, really well. So they have an opportunity to be good out of the blocks. And mm-hmm. and I like that formula. They pay a ton of money to get into the league, and they're you know, Vegas came out and they were maybe too good, but I think that you got to give Vegas a lot of that credit because they picked up some players that that weren't getting an opportunity in on their teams that they were playing for at the time.
So Russ, explain this to me. With the rules here of picking players for an expansion draft. Like you don't get any compensation. I'm going to embarrass myself here. You don't get any compensation for them. Take us inside, Russ. Are there some unwritten rules here? Like, you know, we want to keep that guy. We're not protecting him, but I don't want you to touch him or something.
Yeah.
How does that work?
So there's always negotiations on players they have to expose and they don't want to lose. So the GMs negotiate a deal and they'll send their draft pick so that they do not pick that player and they'll pick somebody else.
Okay.
So I know when Vegas picked Fleury, they wanted to trade him for draft pick because there's a lot of teams in the league that really wanted him.
Sure. Yeah, he was great. Yeah.
So they were getting all kinds of offers. And I know management was having a tough time deciding whether to keep him or trade him. And the guy with the most power at the time decided not to let him be traded, and they kept him. So there's way you can pick a player that another team wants and trade him, and then you get back a draft pick. And so there's all kinds of things that can happen. And there can be, like, I know when Gary Galley and I, we were left, I think, unprotected in LA, and they sent maybe a third round pick so that they wouldn't touch either one of us, something to that effect, Nashville. I think, it was to Nashville, I think.
Oh, you'd be big in Nashville, Rusty. You would have been good.
Yeah. I wish I had a went.
Who are you picking then? Sorry, I asked you this earlier. I forget. I had to stand down. What, you're trying to build your team here, Rusty? What are you trying to do again?
I would try to find the diamonds in the rough that aren't getting the ice time, the players that aren't playing as much as they should be because they're on really good teams. And if you can find those players that are second, third line players that just aren't getting the ice time, or they're not playing with the right guys and they're really good. I've told a couple owners that I've had conversations with, I said, you got to follow around the really good teams because there's always these really good players that just can't get in. They're too young or mm-hmm. they just can't, their salary cap gets too expensive and they got it. Like, I love Kapanen. I think he's a great player. In Toronto, you could feel like he was going to be on his way out because of money. And I told two or three people in hockey on different teams, I said, I've watched the Leafs enough that guy, I would grab that player if I could. And so there's players that, you know, aren't getting the opportunities because of the team is good. And or they can't re-sign them because they're just full in salary cap. There's all kinds of scenarios, and I really respect the GMs today and all the people who work for them. I mean, they're amazing at what they do. It's such a they've got to worry about the cap.
Not a fun job.
Oh my God, it's unbelievable. Like it is. It's a difficult job. The managing of salaries and players, and what do you do? ice time wise for the coaches. I mean, it's there's a lot going into it. So these guys, I mean, they spend so much time analyzing. I mean, mm-hmm. Ron Francis is the GM in Seattle, and his whiteboard, you know, in his office is probably changing every month of the players, the wish list,
right?
Of who, because they're scouting all these teams. I mean, they're scouting them all. So
speaking of busy, the scouts must be going bananas. Yeah.
And we all know with athletes, you know, and injuries and streaks and slumps. I mean, you got to follow all that stuff, right?
Rusty, on to the next tier. I love records in sports. I love it. I love the Grand Slam. I love the no-hitter. I love the guy shooting 59. I love them in golf, as you know. I love them winning by a huge margin. Football, I love the record-setting, receiving yards, all that shit.
Yeah.
Connor McDavid.
How about your record? Before Connor, how about your record?
Oh yeah, well, my
you're 0 for 2021 with no dates.
Oh come on, no, 0 for yeah,
0 for no. Okay, Connor,
yeah. Connor, what? Wait a minute, you were telling me off. You got to hear this. I want to hear the story about over in Finland or Sweden. What was the record? You walked into a bar.
So we're at a hockey. It was on the Gretzky tour, and that we're in Helsinki in a bar.
No way.
And, yeah, shocker. And there was a barber chair and then a sign above it with this record of names, most shots taken in one night. And the record was 72. And it was a coffee shot. Yeah, it was. It was like a sweet coffee shot or something like that. And one of our, I don't know if, I think it wasn't a, it wasn't a player. No, I had the shot though. It was a good shot.
Yeah.
But I definitely didn't try to even come close to that record. But I had the shot, it was good, and had a little coffee in it, and it was easy to drink. And one of our coaches or managers got in the barber chair, and I think they got to like 28 or 30. Oh, no. And that was it. But yeah. Anyway, 72 on the board was
There's the record.
Yeah, yeah, no shit, right?
Oh, can you imagine? Big one. I would have liked to take a run at that. I could have in my day.
Yeah, and you had all night to do it too,
I think. Yeah, I could do that. I think the NHL is starving for records, Russ. The ones they've been glomming onto are kind of like was it Patrick Marleau like last week or the week before set a record for
most games played.
Most games and Ovi's they're trying to look at his record, but he's got to play another couple of years to get the points deal, goals deal. And there's just not much there. So Connor McDavid though gets 100 points in 53 games. Mm-hmm. Big news. And how big is that, Russ?
100 points is huge no matter when you do it. And for Connor to do it in 53 games is just amazing. But even back when I played in the 80s and 90s and guys were getting, there was more 100 point players back then. It was a huge deal when guys hit 100 points. And so in this day and age, him hitting it in COVID, shortened season, 53 games and the amount of hockey they're playing, back-to-back games and on and on and on. It's just phenomenal and big congratulations for him. He works hard, and he's such an exciting player to watch. Somebody made a comment about him the other day. Nobody in sport today is playing at the speed of Connor McDavid. I thought, what a compliment!
Wow, no kidding.
Yeah,
no kidding. And the other thing is, you know, if you're playing on Connor's team, You're going to get a pass here, okay? He's pretty good at assists. And he's got Draisaitl to throw to, who has been unbelievable the last couple of years. So watch out for my Oilers, Rusty.
Okay? Yeah, you can play with Connor at his speed if he stays out for three straight shifts and you're the third line.
Or you're on
coach.
Coke.
Wait. I'm not ready. Okay, put me out now. He's been out there for 3 minutes. Yeah, I'm good.
Now I can catch him.
Yeah, he's sucking wind, and I can almost keep up to him.
Yeah. You know what the irony is, though, Russ, when I think about, because they always say, you know, guys in your era, Russ, where the clutch and grab was alive and well. You know, I watched the conference final the other day, 94 Rangers against New Jersey, and it's just a maul show. Everyone's mauling each other. But back in those days, Russ, they were getting Gretz, of course, is the day of him. And Yari got 70. Brett Hull got a bunch of goals. You know, there were guys who were getting 50 goals. Yeah. And then all those guys say now, well, imagine if I could play now in the clutch and grab. There is no clutch and grab, and the numbers are way down. So I never understood that irony.
Definitely the athletes are better, and the game's faster. Guys are in better shape. You just got the best, most talented players playing. Back when we played, there was some guys who were not talented. They weren't skaters. They weren't this and that, but they were good at something, which I played against a couple guys at the end of my career, and the clutching and grabbing was such a freaking joke. I'd say to the player in front of the ref, I can't give you my jersey, but I can sign my stick. Just let me use it during the game. I'll give it to you after.
Oh, that's great.
And then hoping the ref would like catch on and like call it. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Oh my God.
That is so funny.
Oh, fuck. I felt like a tow truck towing it, but I was, you know, I was 190 pounds towing around 220 pound guys.
God, you're funny. Hey, listen, speaking of the Kraken, okay, the Seattle Kraken. Let's get cracking. How about this, Russ? I'm assuming they haven't hired a coach.
I have not heard. And you know, all these, we talked about Tocchet and
what I want to bring up.
Yeah.
Wait, let's get Tocchet and Tortorella. We'll make them co-coaches. Let's sign them.
Yeah. I wonder how that'd work out.
I bring it up because Tocchet, a good friend of yours, and Tortorella, first time I've seen this in a long time. And I believe it to be true is apparently both their statements were, it was a mutually agreed upon decision. If a coach gets fired and they ask me to do that, I'm going, no, you fired me. But it really looks like they maybe had a choice in this thing, Russ. Tocchet got let go, by the way, Phoenix, and Tortorella from Columbus. They got let go.
Well, I think out of respect for them, rather than fire them, they probably were let go. But if they didn't have say their contract ran out, at the end of the year, like they're about to renegotiate a new deal. I don't know their contract situations. Maybe they couldn't agree upon the contract and they went, you know what? I'm good. I'm going to take my chances and go somewhere else. So it's either respect that they didn't want to fire them. The team was moving in a different direction, which is the usual line.
Yeah, right.
Or they're, maybe they couldn't come to an agreement on their deals because they could, a guy like Rick, maybe he want, just saying hypothetical, maybe he wanted a 3-year deal and they wanted to sign him for a 1-year deal. Mm-hmm. And Rick said, no, I don't want that. And they go, okay, well, that's where we're at. And maybe they just said, okay, I'm going to go my way. You're going to go your way. I mean, I don't think Rick would walk away from a contract where they owe him for 2 years or a year. So I would assume that his contract was up. Okay. I don't know about Torts.
I don't know
Torts has made a lot of money coaching. So maybe he could financially walk away from a year or two. I don't know. But if they get fired, they get paid. Right. You quit, you don't get paid.
Right.
So
will Tocchet and Tortorella get a good look?
I would think that Rick would definitely get a look, and Torts has been with 4 teams now. I think he's 4 or 5. So why wouldn't he? You know, he Tampa, Vancouver,
Columbus, yeah. Rangers.
Rangers. Yeah.
You remember he was the great yelling at the great journalist.
He's been hired 4 or 5 times for different teams. So why wouldn't he have another opportunity? There's probably a team out there that would hire him. Rick is an excellent coach. And like you said, you've never heard a bad word spoken about him, the way he coaches. So I think, who knows, maybe he'll end up back in Philly.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Never know. Good one. He's a huge star there as a player. And, you know, I don't know what their coaching situation is, but
he'll get a job.
If he wants to coach, he'll be coaching, put it that way.
Right. Yeah. Even if it's assistant, right? He's not proud.
Oh, he's proud.
Yeah, he's proud. Yeah, sure. 100 people. Ours are 100 people.
100 people listen to our 100th show.
As you said to me when we did 50, I laughed my head off, laughed my bag off when, you know, we said, here's to 50 shows and here's to another four. That's funny. Here's to 100 shows and here's to another 100. Rusty, thanks a lot to everybody for listening. And we really appreciate it. We're going to be back next week with more stuff. Rusty, you're not allowed to play golf down there. What's happening?
Oh, shit.
How can you play?
We're fully open.
Well, what are the rules though for COVID?
There isn't any. You got to wear a mask.
You just told.
No, you said Ottawa, they're closed down.
I know you're allowed, well, but
our course is no. I said our course is so busy that we can't bring guests. We can have 3 guests a month. That's it.
Oh, that's why.
That's why. Because it's so busy. The course is jammed.
Well, I'll tell you what. That makes sense. Rounds played in November 2020. They're up 57% from the year before.
Golf has gone nuts because of COVID. There's more families now out here playing than before COVID, giving them something to do outside. And we're selling memberships apparently at Sherwood. Look, I feel like a new member there. I've been there since 1993. I walk in and I feel like I'm the new guy because I don't recognize anybody.
Oh, wow. There you go. Get back to the golf course, Rusty.
We're closed on Mondays, so honey deuce.
What'd you get your wife for Mother's Day, Russ?
My wife's not my mother, so I didn't get her anything.
You got her nothing?
No, because she's not my mom. The kids got her stuff.
Wait a minute.
Is that why she's mad at me?
Wait a minute. You would be the first guy in history as a husband and a father who you did not get your wife something for Mother's Day, the mother of your children.
28 years.
You're just a prick.
No.
I want you to think about that.
I normally send my mom flowers, but she's in a home and she doesn't know who I am anymore. So I could have put them from you and she would.
Oh, that's too bad. Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to hang up here. We're going to sign off and I'm going to send Paris a Mother's Day gift.
Oh, jeez.
Rusty, take it easy, baby.
We cooked her a beautiful meal last night.
Not enough, pal. You still got to do a gift. I want you to ask her if she'd like to get a gift. Okay. I better know her answer. We're going to be back next week with another show, Rusty, and a lot more. Playoffs are happening, Rusty. Is it the year for my Oilers? Big series. Probably Toronto, Montreal. How's that? Ooh.
Yeah, Leafs.
Bad series for the first round. I don't think
Leafs
they'll get much. Leafs in five
over Montreal? Yeah, because Montreal's devastated with injuries, unless they all come back.
What about my Oilers, Russ?
We'll see.
Me something good here. Leave me something good, please.
We'll see.
Their goaltending's dicey. That's the problem.
The Leafs and the Oilers got to win their first round.
Thanks, pal.
They both do.
Okay, I'm babbling here. Florida, Tampa, not going to be a very
high review. I think that's going to be – that potentially could be the best round of hockey.
Oh, no shit. Okay. Yeah. I was making fun of it. Okay.
No. It is going to be – I think it's going to be unbelievable because you got the Stanley Cup champs playing in their state and Florida's on the upswing and I think that it's going to be a hell of a series. I think of all the series, I'm really excited to watch that one because I think Toronto should just walk over Montreal because of the injuries that Montreal has. They've got too many key players out. So I think that one you got to watch. I think everyone's going to watch that one.
It is. Russ's pick, the Florida-Tampa series. Okay, let's watch that one. When we come back next week, I'm sure playoffs will be underway. If not, any minute when we come back on next week. Rusty, you get away from here now and get out and see your wife. I got to go. You've been listening to Russ Courtnell and me, Jungle Jim Jerome. And this is The Suspendables, and we'll talk to everybody next week. Take it easy.
See you, boys.
The Suspendables is a weekly podcast series featuring former NHLer Russ Courtnell and host Jim Jerome.
Join us for new episodes available each Wednesday morning. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. We invite you to subscribe and review or share the show with your friends and followers. Check out our website today, thesuspendables.com.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.